You can hear the podcast of Zolak and Bertrand on the podcast page of 98.5thesportshub.com. Here's Owen Beadle from Gillette Stadium, sponsored by the Massachusetts Pirates. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
You're a rich girl, and you're gone too far, cause you know it don't matter anyway. You can rely on the old man's money. You can rely on the old man's money. It's a bitch, girl, but it's gone too far, cause you know it don't matter anyway. Say money, money won't get you too far, get you too far.
All right, 11:03, Zolak and Bertrand, live from Gillette Stadium. No Bertrand today, Ted Johnson.
I'm having fun, bud.
Yeah, I'm
fun. 1 hour in, man.
1 hour down. Don't lose the gas. That's part of the problem. Yeah, a lot of people see ex-teammates. Ex-teammates would say, hey, I want to get into radio. I want to do this.
Oh, like, please.
Try to do it 4 hours a day.
Every round. Day.
And come be a different guy every day.
Yeah. You got to have some juice at the end of the fourth final hour, too,
I listened
man.
To you last week. You run out of stories there.
I did. I was like limping.
Well, Ted, tell me another story.
Some guys you've worked with haven't made it through one hour.
You noticed I lost steam. I was best. Crawling across the finish line in those fourth hours.
My favorite Ted Johnson story is against the Pittsburgh Steelers. And the funny thing about Landon Roberts, we talk about shooting gaps and picking a gap and going and getting a guy. Landon Roberts does that, and it's like the only thing he does. You had this knack to get through a gap to get Bettis. But each time you hit Bettis, you always had your arm extended. It ripped your bicep.
It did, damn it.
So Ted gets hit, and he comes over, and his arm's hanging. I'm like, what happened? And he comes over, and he pulls his shirt up. He looks. He goes, I think I tore my bicep. And then the muscles all the way rolled up to the top, and he's pushing it down, and it goes back up. It's like one of those New Year's things. You blow it.
It's so true, man. I was tripping. I was like, what is
holy Jesus, he tore his bicep. You're like, tape it down, tape it down. They put a brace on you, and then you're running around trying to get back in there.
Yeah.
And you end up tearing the other one. The next year, right?
I did, man.
On the same freaking guy.
I was reaching out to Kevin Falk in training camp.
Oh my God!
And I snagged, and he just rolled up again. And you're right, the nerve endings are. See it just kind of involuntarily going like this, and it's like.
Whoa. You ever bet off a chicken? You watch a chicken just flop around.
I can imagine.
I talked to Matt Light about this. Like Matt Light, he tries to kill when he kills turkeys, or he hunts and rent them out by me, and this one lady and called the cops on him because. She's watching the turkeys in her yard. He shoots them. He shoots bows and arrows, but he blows the head off the turkey.
So he said he's just watching these turkeys, this family of turkeys.
You don't want to shoot. You don't want to shoot the turkey in the chest or the heart or because whatever with the lead with the bullet or there's certain bacteria that could get through it with the bow and arrow or something.
Oh, wow.
Matt explained. I don't know
very
exactly what it was.
Stuff.
But he says you eliminate the head. He said, but the problem is the bird keeps running. It's going nuts. And this lady's screaming. She calls the cops. Cop comes. Yeah, they call me. It's legal hunting zone.
Yeah.
And he had the turkeys handcuffed to the back of his truck.
That's the best.
Obviously, he's got a redneck gun rack in the back.
Of course.
And I go, why do you
making no apologies.
I go, why do you have turkeys handcuffed to the back of your truck? He goes, well, they're headless. I'm draining all the blood out. Just classic.
Oh,
like
man.
That. We played some real freaking winners.
Yeah, I don't have a lot of country in me. You won't see me out there shooting turkeys, man.
All right, let's go to back to your calls, folks. Thanks for hanging. Let's go to Derek in Foxborough. What do you got, Derek?
Oh, what's up, Bizzell? Totally agree with you. First off, I just totally agree with your Bruce Springsteen take. He cannot sing live at all. You know, in the studio.
No, he can sing live. It's easy. You listen to my show all the time, Derek, obviously, and you call a lot, and I appreciate that. I'm easy to appease. And I've told Bon Jovi this, and I've sat in Robert's house during one of the AFC title parties, and this is the new Bon Jovi, like 2 years ago.
Do you call him John? Do you just call him John?
Call him John.
Yeah.
And he's like, what are you thinking of new stuff? I'm doing some more of these acoustical sets, and we're trying with the new stuff. I'm like, no. I said, I got a treadmill, you know what I do, slippery and wet. I want the old stuff. I want the heydays. I want the 80s. I want you and the roadies and the band and, you know, all your groupies. I want old school Bon. Play the freaking hits, man. I don't want you to be new.
You're telling John Bon Jovi how to do his concert.
Yeah.
Wow. That's awesome. That's awesome.
But, I mean, that's what it is.
I love you, bro.
You don't need to reinvent yourself later in life, man. Yeah. There's a reason people buy Bon Jovi's best hits because they were great. There's a reason why Van Halen might go on tour again next year back together. It's why Axl Rose and Guns N' Roses came on tour to make money and play the hits.
Yeah.
You go to a Springsteen show, I don't need storytelling ballads where I'm riding my car. I don't listen to that. I want Born to USA. I want Born to Run. I want Hungry Heart.
I hear you, brother.
It's simple, man. The guy can sing, Derek. I'm not saying he can't sing.
No, you're right. He puts on a terrible show. Yeah.
That's all.
No one wants to hear the new songs he wrote 10 minutes ago, I see.
Yeah, stupid.
I love it.
Yeah, but on the Patriots, how are you feeling? I mean, they're going to have to actually play a good team this year. I mean, that Titans game and the divisional round last year was a joke. I think it's going to be a tougher road this year, having to maybe go to Kansas City in the title game and, a good team in the divisional round.
Yeah. All right, Derek. Well, thanks for the call. Thanks for the criticism of the boss. we checked on that Colts-Texans line. -2.5 Texans. So you're getting 3 for playing at home.
Yep.
That means to tell me what the Colts are favored technically by half a point. Similar in the other games. And I tweeted this out last night. Colts at Texans. Seattle at Dallas later in the day. Have you watched Seattle lately in the way Russ Wilson's playing
Ballin.
With Doug Baldwin?
Ballin. They got a great running game, too, now.
Who's that back they have? Clinton? What's his name?
Carson.
Carson, I'm sorry. Yep. Good job, Ted.
Yep.
Excellent. The next day, Sunday, Chargers at Ravens in the early game.
Ooh, I can't wait for that game.
And then in the late game, Eagles at the Bears in the way the Eagles are playing. I wouldn't be shocked if the road teams win all 4 games. And sweep the home teams.
I wouldn't either.
If the Colts, Seattle, Chargers, and Eagles all prevail, I would not be shocked once.
Is that game that Chargers Baltimore game? That's in Baltimore.
Yeah,
that's in Baltimore. So Baltimore went to.
Have you seen the run pass ratio with the Baltimore offense? It's like 64.
Jim, I think
run.
You sent an email. Yeah, yeah. It's insane.
And nobody does that nowadays. It's like a high school offense.
But it's not sustainable, right? It's one of those deals. I think it's kind of like, hey, he came in week 11.
You get up against a good defensive head coach or defensive minded coordinator, and you put 8 guys in a box, and you're able to contain Lamar Jackson and make him beat you in the air.
Yeah,
it's problems for Baltimore.
I totally agree. Yeah. I totally agree. That's why I'm not. We were kind of looking at the teams that scare you. I mean, Baltimore. You stop that running game. You stop Baltimore.
Baltimore scares me because they still have some of the guys. Yeah, you have the Mosley guys. You've got T-Sizzle.
T-Sizzle.
You've got guys on their staff that have been in here that walk into Gillette, and they don't whiz down their legs.
Can we talk about
that? Oh,
there is something to that. A lot of people are like, okay, coming to
lack of fear.
Gillette, there is already a psychological advantage to the Patriots. There just is. I mean, teams come here, and they know what happens when they come here, particularly in the playoffs.
See Brady's Instagram video? He already put out, hey, guys, season starts now. That's guess awesome. What? At home, 8-0 at Gillette. We're playing there in 2 weeks. See you there, fans.
Hey.
That's part of the mystique.
It is part of the mystique. And you look at what their point differential is between home and away games this year. On top of the history, the historical perspective on how dominating they are at home, plus they add in how they've been playing at home this year. And you know what? It's this team, let's face it, 2 losses in the month of December, people right. down on this team. Last 2 games, they played a hell of a lot better. They were at home. We can see how dominant they are at home. This team's going to be hard to beat at home. I don't care who comes in.
And I think the way the AFC, the rest of the, not only the AFC, but you look at the Rams and the Saints and sort of how like the top seeds, and we did a thing, an exercise about 5 weeks ago. We just thought it was a 4-team race, your top two seeds in each conference, whether it was Kansas City, New England, and it was Rams and it was Saints, and everybody was head and shoulders above everybody. I think this thing is wide ass open on both sides.
But you look at the teams.
And that's the way the month of December has changed.
It has. But I mean, Colts started 1-5. Baltimore wasn't very good. And then all of a sudden, Houston started out 0-3. So you got 3 teams in the AFC that got off to really slow. A big time. Are you kidding? Hell, John Harbaugh was supposed to be fired 5 weeks ago, right. And now they're talking about an extension for him. So you have a lot of teams in the AFC, even in the NFC. Philly got off to a slow start. Look where they are. Seattle got off to a slow start. Look where they are. So a lot of teams in these playoffs that have heated up towards the end of the season are playing well going into the playoffs.
All right, quickly, let's go to Tom and Raynham. What's up, Tommy?
Hey, how you doing?
Good, how you doing?
Good. I wanted to talk about Brady and his lack of emotion in a game this year.
Okay.
You know, it seems to me he sits on the sidelines. There's no hurrah. There's no more headbanging. It seems like he doesn't get his team up anymore.
You sure you're watching a game this year, Tom?
Sure I am. Yeah, most of the time you're sitting there with McDaniels.
Yeah,
they're running
over,
50 passes a game.
Yeah,
50 passes a game when they should be running. It seems like, it's scary to watch because, I'm like, you know, you can't just keep going in the air like they do.
Yeah.
Huh?
Okay. No, but you're a big body language guy.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I mean, he used to be all the way around, but lately it seems like he's, you know, more on the sideline sitting there doing nothing as opposed to what he used to do.
Okay.
He's just out there lighting it up.
More fire. More fire. Tom says going into playoffs need more fire out of quarterback.
I believe it or not, I'm not in this instance. I'm not going to I'm not going to side with our caller there. Like Tom's fine, but I am a body language guy. A lot of people aren't.
Yeah,
I'm a body language
guy. You have to be. That's,
you know what I mean?
This whole sport's predicated on energy, man.
Big time, right?
Well, controlled energy too. And you can't go wacko the other guy.
You know, I've made all of my opinions on Jay Cutler based on body language. Jay Cutler's body language.
Guy did not care.
Right? Did not care.
Leonard Fournette does not care.
He doesn't care.
T.J. Yeldon does not care.
I tell you what, though, Tom Brady does care.
I watch a lot of what Tom Brady does during breaks. And yesterday, when the game's winding down and he's already out of the game, he goes up and down the bench and congratulates everybody for securing a bye.
Yeah.
I'm not even talking about the players. He goes does the whole defense. And then he goes to the four little ball boys, you know, the so-called minions that are there every day that grind to get him ready to go, and thanks them. To see a guy do that 19 years into it, acknowledge every single person, including the smallest person in the organization on the sideline, then goes to the doctors. I mean, maybe you're at home and you're not seeing it. Maybe the cameras aren't going to it enough. I watch everything he does just to sort of kind of get a glimpse of way maybe what they're trying to do next series. I don't see any dip in emotion.
I don't know how he does it, Zoe. I don't know how. You have to think, 18 years of this kind of sustained success, and he's still fully invested, all in, and I marvel at the kid.
Yeah, the last 6 weeks, here's what's missing. And this is where you get the money shot with the networks. So they take the camera and they put it in the south end zone. Tom Brady's normal warm-up is he comes out of the tunnel, and he and Hoyer go 100 yards. Brady gets to the goal line, and it's the fist pump, and it's the let's go, and this and that. And that's the money shot that all the cameras have. Since he got hurt in Tennessee and got that knee, and it's a knee, it's a left knee rolled up, he has not done that 100-yard jaunt. So we've had six straight weeks of, I'm only coming out for 20 yards, I go to throw, and that's it. That's a different thing, and that's him managing.
Interesting.
Pain. All right, more of your calls next. We're loaded, 617-779-0985.
Zolak and Bertrand are live from Gillette Stadium, sponsored by the Massachusetts Pirates on 98.5 The Sports Hub and streaming on the Sports Hub app.
Back in the studio is playing the hits for you, brother.
What's your Twitter handle? At Ted Radio?
At Teddy J Radio.
So T-E-D-D-Y.
Yep.
Teddy J Radio.
Teddy J Radio.
Hit Ted up on Twitter, at Teddy J Radio, at Scott Zolak, at Zoe and Bertrand.
Zoe, I love you. You're very active on Twitter. I come and go. I'm in and out, depending on my mood.
Depends what's going on.
Yeah. Live tweeting's fun.
I don't do a ton of live tweeting.
You can't do the Patriots game, but when there's something that's, you know, everybody's kind of watching and everybody kind of a big event and everybody's weighing in on it. I think Twitter's kind of fascinating.
Oh, you want to go nuts too? Like they blow that call. What a bullshit call. No, Jim, drop that bomb. Sorry.
I love it. I'm gonna say I'm proud that I was able to get that out of
you. It was only a matter of time. You guys are just talking like you're in the locker room.
What a BS call. Like, you talk about getting the tight end up and going. And I talked to somebody before the game and they said, he's feeling really good. And I knew Julian was feeling good. I talked to Julian for a while before the game. He said, I finally feel like myself. And I said, I saw that last week. I said, it's two things. It's your ability to run after the catch, like everything with you. And I said, your return game, your ability to get a crease. If there's nothing there in a punt return, somehow he finds a way to get you 8 or 11 yards.
So good.
That's huge. You know how important flipping field position is.
Big time.
And you do that throughout the course of a game. You tap four of those together. That's 40 yards of field position. That's 3 points for you, and that equates in points. So they get Gronkowski on the drag. He ends up running a guy over, swats one, runs through another, and they call Dwayne Allen. So the back judge, who's 30 yards back, Dwayne Allen gets released in a route. The DB comes up and wraps him. It's actually defensive holding, and he calls Dwayne Allen for illegal offensive pick,
right,
which is pass interference. Yeah, I went nuts on that one.
No, that was a disappointing call.
They got such inconsistencies in this league of calling PI or, you know, just – I don't know how they fix it.
Do you know there's one kind of theory out there, or one kind of school of thought, and I think it's Belichick has this pie in the sky idea that he would like to have to be able to throw a challenge flag
yes.
for pass interference calls.
For only PI.
I love it.
I do too.
I love that idea. I mean, I don't think they'll ever do it. But the thought of, like, can you imagine throwing a challenge flag?
But wait a minute. Would that lead them to throw less flags? Because, see, we don't want to be ridiculed. If it's close, I'm not going to call it. Can you throw a challenge flag and say, hey, there was PI, our guy got held.
Oh, I see what you're saying. I think
you do the reverse fact? You know, the reverse
I think, I think a penalty has to be called for you to throw a red flag.
So if I'm the ref back there, and after, like, all of a sudden they're red flagging three of mine, oh, crap, I screwed up three calls, I'm going to be really hesitant to throw PI the next time.
I
can see probably that's why it's never going to get in. Right to your calls. Let's go. We got seven deep here. Keep calling if you can't get in. 617-779-0985. Let's go to John in Woburn. Let's talk about playoff seedings. What do you got, John?
Hey, guys. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Gotcha.
All right. First off, Happy New Year's Eve to both of you.
Yes, sir.
I just want to say, I've been a fan of this team going back to the Bill Parcells days in the early 90s.
That's our guy.
I credit my father and my older brother for getting me into this wonderful game that we all enjoy.
Nice.
I just have a couple questions. I'll try to be as brief as I can. The first question I have, in your opinion, and I know this is a question mark right now with the playoff teams, but in all three phases of the game, what are the keys to success? Again, in your opinion, to beating whoever we play. And moving on to the next round. And my second question is to both you guys, because you guys have been there in the trenches in the day. Do you guys have any fond memories of Drew Bledsoe and Bill Parcells? Thank you, guys.
Okay. All right, thanks. I have zero memories of Drew and Bill at all. I have none of those.
We don't want to start story time with Zoe and Ted, do we?
Oh God,
we could go forever on that one.
I've told the story and it's in the book too. But I mean, my favorite one. We'll start there with Drew was the Minnesota game where we're getting our ass kicked, and you could tell, and I could tell at that time. Okay, he likes going 2 minute.
Mm-hmm.
And
was this 94?
Yeah, it's the Minnesota game 94. Yep. The touchdown pass to KT that won it. And Ray Perkins in there, he's trying to draw up different protections to protect him and this and that. And Parcells can figure something out, and they're screaming at each other. And I'm like, hey, we kind of moved the ball in 2 minutes. You're at the point now. Are you going to make the team his or not, the offense? Put him in a gun. Let him call what he's comfortable calling, because he loved throwing the all-four curl and, the dig or the double slants backside. And Parcells goes, what do you want, to coach a team now? It's like one of those old Swamp Chicken Todd Collins stories. That's another one, too, boy. Todd Collins took himself off of special teams. I think we were out in Arizona. And a special teams meeting was starting at a certain time. Parcells came in and started like 15 minutes early. And he comes in and he goes, don't turn the projector on it. And he goes, Todd Collins, where are you at? Stand up.
Collins. From Knoxville, Tennessee.
Raises his head like this. His nickname, Swamp Chicken. This is about when Swamp started to hate football and he got out of it for a while.
Yeah, he did. He took a year off.
Parcells made him hate it.
In 95, he took a year off.
Bill Parcells has that ability. That's another to make people hate football. So Swamp stands up and he goes, here you go, son. Throws him the whistle. He goes, took yourself out of the game, huh? So you want to coach the effing football team? Good, go ahead. Go run the meeting. Walks out of the room.
Wow.
I wonder back, and I'm like, oh, my God. And Swamp just sits back
I did
down,
not know that story. If you know Todd Collins, a.k.a. Swamp Chicken, that had to be a humiliating.
A humiliating, demeaning moment.
Very humiliating for
Parcells
Todd.
That's making an example. And that's some guys you got to do that with.
Yeah.
And I think Todd will admit that he was a better football player because of him.
Yeah.
As were you. As was I. I mean, you'd run through a wall for the guy. But, the Bledsoe one, and he's like, looked at me. Do you want to coach team two? And I said, no, I don't want to be Todd Collins' coach. And he said, good. Go sit down.
There's only one Parcells.
So Parcells gets up and says, all right, here's what we're going to do. Ray, we're going 2 minutes.
Ray Perkins.
Put the kid in the gun and go 2 minutes. It was his idea.
Typical. He's not going to give you credit for it.
I gave him the idea to have fun with. And, sometimes
that's
your boss,
story,
you have to spin things to put it in your boss's terms to allow them to come up with the idea even though you had it.
Damn right. One of the biggest memories I have of Drew playing was, other than he's just one of our good friends. I mean, Drew, I will say this about you and both you and Drew. As far as like opening their house to have people over, both of you guys were very hospitable that way. Not everybody's like that. I don't think it's like that in today's NFL. But
no,
hey,
it's not.
Like, hey, I mean, Drew had a lot of parties. You had a lot of parties, and it really helped us. Great, great parties, epic parties. But in 2001, we go to play Pittsburgh in the AFC Championship game, and Tom Brady gets hurt, and we're playing the Steelers. And I believe, well, you know, I don't think we played in the early in the race. Point is, Drew comes in because Drew had been benched earlier that year, right, after week three. Mo Lewis hits Drew on the sideline, and then Tom comes in. He doesn't play until that game, Pittsburgh, yeah. 2001. Comes in there, David Patton in the back of the end zone. Nobody was sitting on the bench. Everybody got up to go watch him throw that play, throw that ball, and it was just one of those cool things. Like, good for you, Drew. That's You've great. Been backing up yeah. Tom after losing your starting job. And so that was one of the best memories ever, was Drew coming in for Tom in that Pittsburgh game. And throwing that route out there, the corner route to David Patton.
Yeah, back to what he originally asked the question on. All three phases. What's the most important thing in all three phases when the playoffs start? Obviously, for offense, it's you can't turn the football over. Yeah. You can't fumble early in games. You need to start fast. Special teams. To what we talked about, the Edelman point. Find a way to scrap for every yard. Make smart decisions. If you're backed up inside the 10. Don't let the ball roll to the one. You know, make sure you fair catch it. Everything's built in that way. Understand that, oh, crap, if I'm 40 yards deep in the end zone, probably shouldn't bring it out. The decision-making process is critical at that next level. And defense, do you have the ability to roll the dice and go get people? I think the attacking defense is advanced in this tournament. And that's the biggest thing as we continue to talk about this throughout the week. All right, Sean Silver's all set for Hub Headline. And you guys want to talk football, we're back to your calls next. Oh, you want to go nuts, too? Like, they blow that call. What a bullshit call. No, Jim, drop that bomb.
Sports Hub Headlines.
Patriots are headed for a bye and a home game in 2 weeks following their 38-3 dismantling of the Jets yesterday. Five catches on five targets for Philip Dorsett, including a touchdown.
Personally, I mean, I didn't take it personal. Like you just said, I just kept going, kept working hard, kept staying in it, going hard in practice, staying in the game plan, just making sure I'm ready for anything.
For the Pats, their eighth season in team history with an undefeated home record. That's an NFL record. The playoff matchups are set. Next week in the AFC, the Colts at the Texans and the Ravens hosting the Chargers. In the NFC, the Eagles will visit the Bears. Cowboys host the Seahawks. It's Black Monday today. Coaches falling off the carousel. Marvin Lewis and the Bengals have announced their mutual separation. Steve Wilks is out in Arizona, as is Vance Joseph in Denver, Adam Gase in Miami, Todd Bowles with the Jets, Dirk Cutter with Tampa Bay. The Raiders reportedly will have a new GM in Mike Mayock. The Dolphins announcing they're reassigning Mike Tannenbaum, with Chris Greer assuming head of football operations. The Bruins in South Bend getting ready for the Winter Classic. Their practice today moved indoors due to inclement weather. Celtics taking on the San Antonio Spurs tonight on the Sports Hub. They'll wrap up a three-game road trip. Pre-game coverage starts at 6:30. The Sports Hub headlines brought to you by Valvoline Instant Oil Change. Visit their newest location, Weymouth, at 190 Main Street for a 15-minute oil change. You can stay in your car and no appointment is ever needed. I'm Sean Silver at Boston's Home for Sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub. Your next update in 30 minutes.
Zoe and Beetle at Gillette Stadium, sponsored by the Massachusetts Pirates, on 98.5 The Sports Hub and online at 98.5thesportshub.com.
I am still living with your ghost, lonely and dreaming of the West Coast. I don't want to be your dad.
That was a fun trip to Tampa that year. Remember that?
Was that the stage diving?
That's what they said happened.
Oh, you heard it differently? Or you saw it differently?
You knew it was bad because I never...
Oh. Like, yeah, our offense was three and out all day that day. John Allstott.
Guess who got the first
Mike
touch?
Allstott.
Hey, dude,
Mike Allstott.
Speak for yourself. I got hot at the end of that game. I was like 10 of 13, a touchdown pass. Our first down was a throw to Lovett Purnell.
Do you want to give context to the listeners, maybe?
Well.
What year was that? That was.
God, it had to be
97,
98?
98. We go down to Tampa Bay.
It's Tampa Bay week. Thursday night, Everclear.
Hot as all get out down there.
We get a car. We go in. We only had. Each of us only had four drinks that night.
That's it.
And I told them, don't play that song. The band said, getting requests. I said, yeah, just don't play that song because we're going to snap when you play that song. And we snapped. Other things snapped.
Turn it up, there. Tom. Yeah, boy.
Thanks a lot. And I just remember the next morning. This is, we played in a different age, man. Thank God.
Oh, no social media back then, huh?
You didn't have these things. You didn't have Bledsoe shirtless on top of me, chicken fighting in the mosh pit.
I can't believe
no
I wasn't
pictures
there.
Of that.
I heard about it. I wasn't there, though.
Lights go on, crowd party. And we're like, okay, nobody's going to hear about this. Yeah. And then get into work the next day. We're always in early, 6:30. We're dragging ass. All of a sudden, you get the, and it's Pete.
Yeah.
Daggone it. What happened last night, man? Shoot, we got a football game to play.
Pete,
Pete, we know. Blah, 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 blah. And we get down there. He goes, you guys better, we better not screw this up.
Oh, God.
And we couldn't do anything.
You guys.
3/4 of zero production on offense.
Oh, it
you
was like.
Stats?
Yeah, you were 3-for-6, 34 yards. You threw a touchdown to Lovett Purnell.
Damn right. I can't.
I was 10 for,
play.
I was 15 for 20.
So kids,
230 yards.
Bledsoe was 13 of 25, 117, 2 interceptions, sacked 5 times.
Oh,
so
yeah,
that's the kids.
Yeah,
out
what was the time of possession? Is what I want to know, Jim. How long was the defense out there?
Gassed.
Mike Allstott was just
well. If
running.
You would have tackled him, we'd been all right,
dude. Are you kidding me? Like we did, and then you guys would go 3 and out, and then we'd have to go right back out there again, and it was like
oh, wow.
4 yards in a cloud of dust.
39-28 to 20-32 time of possession. 39 to 20, 39 and a half.
And it was I hope you had fun at that concert. So.
Well, we did.
I hope that was a good time.
I had a good time
because
I
our defense
I play
was
Sunday.
Sucking win the entire game.
Well,
because the offense had their
fault.
Heads up their ass.
Yeah, not my fault. All right, back
awesome.
Back to these damn calls. Let's go to Lee. Lee and Quincy. What's up, Lee?
Hey guys, how are you?
Lee. Good.
Oh, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
I will say, Ted, you and I belong to the same gym, and I see you getting after it all the time. So good for you. Keep
Thank
at
you.
It.
I love our gym. Our gym's awesome.
Oh, well, well.
I know.
It is.
Yes, yes. So,
what's
I,
he get after, just, Lee?
You know, I don't follow him around. So, but, like,
elliptical.
He's lifting. He's doing his cardio. He's getting it all in.
Is he a mirror starer? Like he stares in the mirror?
Are we all? A little bit?
You have to be.
No. There are plenty of those, though.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But
nice.
Ted's
all right, we got
one of them. All right. So, in yesterday's game, in the absence of Josh Gordon, it was good to see Brady targeting Dorsett and Hogan. But it still seems like Brady almost has a little mental block sometimes when he's throwing to Hogan. He overthrew him a couple times, like that throw in the end zone where he was open. But
you know what it is, too?
Even if he caught it, he was going to be out of bounds.
You know what? I'm glad you brought this up, Lee, because I think, you know, Brady's human. Yeah, I know as much as we like to think he's a maniacal robot and his approach.
And never makes mistakes.
He is so aware of, oh, God, we got to get Hogs involved. We got to do this. We got to do
that. He's got, the yips when it comes to him. Like, I don't know what it
yes.
is.
Yes. It's like, you know what it is? It's John Lester throwing to first base.
Is that what it is?
Exactly.
John Lester cannot throw the ball to first base.
Just figured it out.
Is there enough time between now and the playoffs for him to kind of get it together mentally when it comes to him? He's great.
I think it's this, Lee.
11 targets.
Lee, thanks for the call.
11 targets. Lee, I'll see you at the gym. But 11 targets Hogan got yesterday.
I think it's, you know, it's the outside. It's the sideline throws. Those 5-yard outs. Just getting rhythm, getting at the Hogs there. And I think that comes natural. And that's the nice thing from yesterday with Brady, why I thought it was so important he played the way he did. There was no hesitating, like waiting for guys to come out of the break. And you saw that a little bit with Gordon because he didn't totally trust Josh, but he knew the talent's there.
Holding the ball, split second longer.
Is he going to break it? Yep. Yes. Yes, he's throwing, like, Dorsett ran one of those pirouette outs where he runs up, spins it back to the outside, and boom, ball's here before he even turns, you know, on the left shoulder. That's the stuff that he hasn't been doing for 4 weeks.
And that's a good point, Zoe, because that's what you saw yesterday. You saw the
anticipation.
Ball yeah, you saw the ball coming out on time.
Right.
The ball was coming out, boom. You're going to play a team that has a great pass rush in the playoffs, whether it be – you know, the Texans, whether it be, the Baltimore Ravens, who knows?
Right.
You're going to have to get that ball out fast. And it was coming out fast because I think he's just more comfortable with the guys he's working with. You know, you're absolutely right. Josh Gordon, it's kind of like, if you got to hold it a split second because you're not sure, you don't trust him to make the break when he's supposed to, that's when more pressure's coming at you. That's when you get a little bit like a cat on a hot tin roof. That's maybe when you spin out of your throws a little bit because you're holding the ball a tick or two longer than you want to.
All right, Patriots, your number 2 seed, talking playoff seedings with you. Who do you fear? Who do you want to play? What's the best matchup? That's all. Everything we're talking about, the way the Patriots ended the season, 2 straight wins against inferior opponents, call them for what they are. The way Brady played in the game. Sonny Michel, you brought it up. What do you like about him? Let's go to Eddie and Quincy. You're up next on Zolak and Bertrand. What's up, Ed?
Hello.
Hello.
Happy New Year, gentlemen.
Yes, sir.
You,
I just want to make a few quick points here. I recall after the first three games of the Patriots season, everybody around here was ready to push the panic button as if they weren't even going to get into the playoffs. But they finished 10-3, which is make it 11-5, which is pretty good. I'll tell you, just focusing on the AFC here, the team I think that's going to go places is the Colts, because they're 9-1 over their last 10. Probably, I think, the hottest team in the AFC, if I'm not mistaken.
I agree with that. They're probably playing their best football as a team right now.
Right. And you have Baltimore beat the Chargers 22-10. Houston and Indy split 37-34, Houston, and Indy 24-21. So that should be a great game.
Yeah, and I don't think Baltimore's playing their best ball. What Baltimore's doing, Ted, you know, they're muddying up games. They're turning games into truck and tractor pulls.
You know something? I tell you.
Like that Cleveland game, they should have kicked Cleveland's ass.
One team that I don't think is going to go anywhere is Kansas City. I think somebody's going to go in there and beat them, okay?
I don't think they play defense, you know?
Well, they don't. Worst defense in the league. But this is the most exciting time of the year right here. I can't wait for playoffs.
All right, I appreciate it.
Go Patriots.
All right, thanks for the call. Go Pats.
The defense, if you were to say to me, all right, you can take either the number one defense into this playoff game or the number one offense in this playoff game. Give me the number one defense every time. It just the defenses in the playoffs that are great defenses usually show up, man. It's harder, I think, to just for an offense to go coming into the playoffs and meet a number one offense going up against a number one defense. Give me the number one defense all the time. So you need your defense in the playoffs, playing at a high level, man, and Baltimore's got that. They got a defense.
How about Pete though? How about the job Pete has done? You look at the way they started the year. So you don't have Earl Thomas.
Earl Thomas flipping him the bird.
Chancellor,
he's getting wheeled
Chancellor,
off.
Chancellor, Browner, whole legion of boom is gone. Averill, yeah.
Michael Bennett,
keep going. Michael Bennett.
Yeah,
all these guys that. Who's the other guy? That was opposite Cliff Averill.
Went to
the Raiders, right? Who the hell was it? Damn it.
Yeah.
Another line.
Bruce Irvin.
Bruce Irvin, thank you.
Bobby
Wagner's the only guy still.
Bobby Wagner is the one lone stay. Bobby Wagner was the young up and comer, you know, that really looked like he could potentially cover Gronk in that 14 Super Bowl. But, okay, Wagner's the base they built it around. That goes to show you that, okay, you get a quarterback that knows what he's doing. You allow him to manage that game. And I'm going to strictly concentrate on our defense. That's why people are looking at a team like Seattle right now saying that team can go into Dallas and win Saturday night.
Absolutely.
I totally think they can do that. No offense, Mabel.
Yeah.
Mabel's a big Dallas Cowboy.
Oh, okay.
But
there's a lot of them out there.
But I
loved playing in Pete Carroll's defense. Loved it. Had my most productive. You know, it was one gap.
Yeah.
It was a one gap.
One gap means less responsibility. You've got one gap we're signing you to.
I got to run sideline to sideline.
My kid likes that. You get him to the buffet, you got one sandwich. You're going with the Italian. You don't want to go with the roast beef. You don't want the mutt. You don't want a prosciutto. You want the Italian.
I want the Italian, and I like the Italian, and I'm used to the Italian, and I feel very comfortable with the Italian. You can do anything you want on the other side, but I'm still being...
You don't speak Italian.
I don't speak Italian.
But you eat Italian.
Well, I eat Italian. But his defenses are very basic.
Yeah.
But... Very, I mean, always, usually, historically great.
Lawyer talked about that the same way, and he said it's so refreshing, and that's part of the struggles Ty Law had. You know, Ty wanted to play man-to-man. He just wanted to lock up and play man-to-man-to-man, and Bill would come in and want to play a little bit of cover two show and back you off.
And he wanted to disguise, and he wanted to move around.
The second Parcells was gone, Pete takes over.
Yeah.
Says, Lawyer, we're playing Dan Marino. I remember him designing coverages that day. Okay, we're going to man up on the outside. Guys like Willie Clay, we're going to back you up a little bit. Here's what we're going to do. Lawyer, we're going to walk you up. You decide when you want to go and when you want to blitz.
Huh.
And that's how you guys were able to hit Marino.
Huh.
You know, those games we played. And Danny was at the end, but he could still throw it, man.
Yeah. I had the most sacks ever against Marino because he was a statue back there.
Right.
So we'd blitz the A-gaps all day on him.
All right. Playoff seedings are set. Patriots are the number two seed. We're loaded on calls, and we're trying to rip us through as many as we can. Jim, we don't even have read and react stuff. We're not doing all that we normally do, right? So we're treating this as a playoff preview show, okay, type show, a post-game show, okay, carrying off of Bertrand and listen a lot of what Beadle and Jim Murray did last night. They were loaded talking about Pats. It's amazing after a win to hear Jim Murray, you know, and his attitude, how refreshing it is.
To say good things and positive things.
And he,
it has to
it's almost
him.
Like he wants to go in a room and cut himself after they lose. You know, it's just, that's the way Murray rolls, all right? 617-779-0985.
You can hear the podcast of Zolak and Bertrand on the podcast page of 98.5thesportshub.com. Here's Owen Beadle from Gillette Stadium, sponsored by the Massachusetts Pirates.
Song?
Yeah, I can get down with this.
That's crazy.
Who sings this song?
So, a Blind Melon.
Blind Melon, yeah.
So Lane Quincy calls, says, yeah, Chad, we go to the same gym. I always see you getting after it over there.
I do. I get after it, Zoe.
So people are always watching, man. So
you never know.
Careful.
You got to be careful all the time, man. I bet I got a great gym. Meathead gym. lot of tats.
Oh, tats, huh?
A lot of tats. It's a diverse group.
How bad is it, though, when you go to a gym and guys in there working on jeans and you just see the sweat and you know he's not showering?
But is there something about...
Do you shower at the gym or do you drive back and forth and shower?
I do both. Yeah. Yeah. If I go on somewhere after the gym, I bring clothes and shower, and no problem. But the guys with the jeans are like the guys that have they come off construction sites, you know, and they're like getting theirs. I kind of like that, man. It's kind of like the guy with the jeans and the work boots getting after it.
All right.
I can get down. It's like he's just fitting it
Bob
in,
Bob the
man.
Builder. Yep. Bob the Builder.
Fitting it in.
Fit it in.
You know, he's building houses during the day,
yep,
working out at night.
Probably got calloused hands.
Dude, shake a guy's hand. A guy that wears jeans at the gym, shake his hand. Calluses, every one of
That's
them.
That's why I shake Jonathan Kraft's hand every Sunday, and I feel it. I was like, oh, my God. It's like his hand feels like Jergens. I'm like, you have the softest hands. I said, that's rich guy hands. He goes, don't you ever say that to me. He goes, I remember living in cars, living in papers down in Carolina. When he said, he would go over. That drives him crazy.
Yeah.
I said, well, you got to take him. You got to scuff him up, man.
Yeah. Oh, you got to get the calluses, man. That shows. I got you. See, you like mine pretty good right there.
Yeah.
That shows I get after a little bit.
Too. Like from the weights.
You still get them back.
I'd bite them, rip them off, spit it out.
Did the same thing.
Let's go to Dylan in the car. What's up, Dylan? In Jamaica Plain.
Hey.
Yo,
Teddy, love you both. Just leaving the gym, actually. Teddy, I got to disagree with you about the defense comment. If you look at the playoffs last year, the Jags got 42 put up on them in the divisional round. Vikings just got 38 put up on them. Those are two of the best defenses in the league. I mean, we got 74 points in the Super Bowl last year. Not to mention the NFC Championship and the Super Bowl are going to be indoors this year.
Jacksonville gave up 42, you said, in the divisional round?
So the Steelers, yeah, they won 45-42, but that was the best defense in the league last year.
Why did I come away from that game thinking that they beat Pittsburgh by like 20?
No, that was close a three-point game. And they gave up three to the Bills.
You're right. You know what? Pittsburgh was getting blown out, and they ended up running off three quick touchdowns in a row. Okay, I remember that now.
Okay, yeah, so points. I just wanted to call and give my 2 cents. Love you guys. I'll hang up and listen. Thanks.
Love you, too. All right, thank you. I mean, every year's different, too. It's hard to carry over what they did there because that was a pretty good, solid football team, Jacksonville.
They were
playing good football at the end of the year.
They were playing good football at the beginning of this year.
Well, they had a Super Bowl. I remember being down there on Tuesday. Second game of the year. And that was their Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And just their reaction on the field. And it's like they're dumping water on guys and like, wow. That's a problem with people. When New England beats them the next week, all five losses this year, the team will go out and lose the next week. And you can never stay focused after playing New England.
It's tough. It's like when I used to have to play Nebraska. It was always we always played Oklahoma State after the game, or after the Nebraska game. And it was never our best games because Nebraska just took so much out of you. But to get back to the defensive standpoint, we were talking about defense. I'll say this about the defense. Look, I mean, those are all – I can't argue those points. You're absolutely right. It's just historically, I think, when you have an elite defense going up against a great offense, I put my money on the defense, and I put my money on Bill Belichick's defense in the playoffs because he's – when you have as much film as the Patriots will have on the teams that they play at this point. All right, they've seen everything. Nobody can put a game plan together better than Bill Belichick can. When you have all this data and information, a lot of times the Patriots struggles at the beginning of the season, I think, are partly because there's not enough film on their opponents.
Okay.
It's harder to game plan, harder to see what their tendencies are. All the tendencies are exposed. They all know what the tendencies are at this point, and Belichick can put a game plan together where defense, this defense can show up in the red zone, can show up on third down. It can be a great third down defense. That's where Bill hangs his hat, is on situational defense, particularly in the off in
and
the
so
playoffs.
So much is made, and talk more about this, where he'll take the one thing you do well, and we're going to stop that, and you're going to have to beat us. Like,
oh, yeah.
Like when you had Jerome Bettis, you guys were more concentrated against the run, right? So what do you think he's telling them? Like, when you face the Steelers now without Le'Veon Bell, which I think it's more difficult to face if you had Bell, they want to take Antonio Brown out of the game.
Antonio Brown.
Okay.
You know, Juju Smith-Schuster. Yeah, no, it's and it was great. He'd have these – Belichick has these Saturday morning meetings that are my favorite time to be around Belichick, because it's like he's in his glory.
Just day before the game.
Day before the game. He has these Saturday morning meetings where he brings the entire team together. So and he goes over for the offense while we're all there. So the defensive guys get to see what the offensive game plan is in this Saturday morning.
So the whole week you'd be strictly confined to defense, and you guys would split and everything's divided.
Exactly.
Saturday
it's the one time you bring both units together for a team meeting, and where he goes over each side's responsibilities for that game. So, for instance, you know, on defense, he'd be like, guys, when we play the Chiefs, Tony Gonzalez, we're going to double-team his ass in the red zone. If we double-team Tony Gonzalez in the red zone, we will win this game. If we're playing the Jets and it's Wayne Krabet in the slot on third down or three or more, and everybody's in there listening, if we hit him and we do not allow him to catch the ball on third or three or more when he's in the slot, we will win the game. And he would just do three examples for the defense, three examples for the offense like that for all of us to see with his film and his pointer, and it was like, wow, you know what? Yeah, we did those things, and we won. That's how he got guys to buy in.
Wow.
Because he's on another level schematically than any coach I have ever been around. He sees the game in a way I had never seen a coach see it. So that's how you get buy-in. In those Saturday morning meetings, he goes through, for the offense, three things that we're going to do to win. Defense, these are the three things. They go do them, they win. They buy in.
All right, my man Jim Louse keeping us updated on Black Monday. That's what we're going to touch on next. So 90 seconds, Sean Silver, Hub headline. Day after the regular season ends, job openings. There are 8 of them. We'll update you on Black Monday and tell you who's been popped lately.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.